I believe that belief is the most important ingredient in our success. When we see it clearly and believe it dearly, we declare a defining moment, an epiphany, if you will. We declare, I can do this. I am doing this. Detailed success stories I know are the best way to build this belief. So I'm on a mission to interview every diamond and above in Young Living worldwide. I'm learning from them the granular details of what they thought then and what they think now. I gathered all their vital statistics on how many people they enrolled year one to the ER rate. Let's dive in and listen. Hey everybody, Richard Blissbrook here with another Road to Diamond interview. What I'm doing in this project is interviewing every, which might take me the rest of my life, every diamond and above in Young Living and fleshing out their stories and their stats. So I have an awesome guest today, one of our best friends in Young Living, and Kimmy has worked closely with her, and I've enjoyed a great friendship with her and her husband now for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And their story is going to be a great inspiration to you because it is a story of triumph and a story of tragedy when it comes to, well, things didn't go as planned this year or the following year, and a story of persistence. So who I have as my guest today is Yvonne Litza from the state of Illinois. What is your town? Crete?
Crete.
Crete. Crete, Illinois. Yvonne, where is Crete?
Crete is right on the Indiana-Illinois border, about 30 miles south of Chicago. So we get all the wonderful lake effect.
Tell us your story. And how I want to start is give everybody some flavor of who were you before Young Living. Who were you and where were you? What was going on in your life prior to Young Living?
Way before. Well, I started in 2001. So before that, I had a normal life, had a wonderful 9-to-5 job. I was at that point, I was a title escrow closer managing an office in Illinois. I had a house, I had dogs, I had just the standard normal life, and I was working a 9-to-5 job, thought I was going to be that 40-year career person, thought I had found the job that I was going to retire with, and I was happy, normal, you know, normal, paid my bills, went on a vacation every other year, standard American life, I hope. And so that's what I was before I found Young Living, and even when I came into Young Living, like we talked about, I came in for the products, and my sister told me I needed to be part of this company, that they had amazing products, and I said, okay. So I joined, and I just started collecting these little bottles. I just collected these little bottles, and I diffused, and I had fun with them, and I really didn't look too deep into it past that.
Okay, so I need to isolate on that. So it was your sister that introduced you to Young Living.
Yep.
And let's focus on her power invite, the language that she used that compelled you to take a look. Could you tell us again what she said to you?
I was her younger sister. So she said, Yvonne, you need to start getting these oils, join this company. And at that time we called it Autoship. She said, get on Autoship, and they're going to change the way you do everything. That was pretty much the way she put it.
Okay. So that's textbook. You want to use that, folks, as one of your lines. Just call people up and tell them you need to start using these oils and join this company and get on Essential Rewards. And I'm assuming most of them will, because it worked with Yvonne, right? So there you go.
If you have sisters, I think it does work.
There you go. So how long did you use the oils before you saw the income opportunity? And what triggered you seeing the income opportunity? What turned the lights on?
There were a couple of things. I used them for about 4 to 5 years, just falling in love with the product and, you know, maybe telling somebody, I don't even remember. But there was a couple things that happened all together. And one of them was, I went to convention, my first convention. It was long before they used to switch them across the country. And it was in Tennessee at the Gaylord Resort, I think it was. And so I went down there and I saw the Passion, which I had never been to anything like it before. I got to see Gary. I mean, it was only 3,000 people at that point. Maybe not even that. So I got to see Gary and Mary up close. There, I think, were three diamonds, I think, at that point. And one of them was Marcella von Harding. So I got to meet her and I heard their stories from stage. And, you know, you're just surrounded with these people who were excited, and you hear these stories of what they're doing and how other people are going, we're going to do this too. And you get excited. I did anyways.
Yeah.
And so I came home from that and I started to look into this network marketing stuff that I had just, I guess I had been introduced to it before in my life. I mean, my dad was a Shackley member way back in the day, and I didn't know that it was a type of business. And so I went and picked up the book, Network Marketing for Dummies. And
I remember that book.
Your book wasn't around yet, I don't think, at that point.
No, it wasn't.
So I went and I read, because I was a researcher. I like to research things. And so I remember, I can't remember who did the Next Wave DVD or CD at that point. And so I listened to that and I heard about this network marketing. I'd heard from Kiyosaki talking about multiple sources of income. And then I was like, I read that book and I started to go through in the back of the book. It tells you what to look for in a company if you want to build a business. And I was starting to think I needed another source of income. I needed to security in my life. And so I thought, I'll build a business. And I looked at actually having a stand-up shop because I had worked a little retail, and I realized that wasn't going to happen. I didn't have that much money in the bank. So I looked at I read this book and I started to go through all the things that this book said I was supposed to look for in a company. And I checked off all the boxes and I was like, oh, I'm already in a company that looks like they say I should build with. And that's really what started me on the way.
Beautiful. Well, it's always something. So one of the things I want to shine light on is, well, let me ask you this. Did your sister tell you to go to convention, or what did she say to motivate you to go to convention?
Yeah, she said it was going to be fun. It actually was the first one she had gone to. So, you know, we talked about, and actually I have another sister who's also a member in Young Living. And so we just decided to do a road trip, because from Illinois, Tennessee's not that bad. And we just went down there. We rented a condo. I don't think they did Airbnbs. We just rented a condo and we had a blast. We went down there for 3 days and just had fun.
Yeah, well, there's magic in that, because somebody, I imagine it was your sister, cast the vision, hey, let's go, let's do a road trip, it'll be fun, right? Not going necessarily to learn anything or hear all of the speakers, but let's just go to a convention about these products that we're using and it'll be fun. And so, you know, what I want everybody to think about is, you know, you think like, well, what do I need to do to inspire my leaders? How do I motivate people? How do I get people to want to build a team? It could be, and is very often, as simple as just selling them on going to an event. Like, don't worry about motivating them to build a big team or rank advancing or catching the whole vision. Just motivate them to go to an event. And how do you do that? You cast a vision for what it's going to be like, and push the buttons that they like to be pushed, which for you sounds like fun must be one of your core values.
It is.
There you go. So going to convention, I don't know how you take a customer. Just think about, I'm a customer. Take me and put me in convention for 3 days. Of course, now it's not three diamonds and 3,000 people. Now it's 300 or 400 diamonds and 30 or 40,000 people. I don't know how you take somebody to a passion rally or to a convention and not have them walk away seeing the passion and the energy and the possibilities
for themselves. So that was a power move on your sister's part, which I think we could point to as a pivot point for you in building Young Living. And then, of course, reading the book just fills in a lot of the, well, what is this? Well, how does it work? Well, is it legitimate? Can I really build something here? Awesome. I've never heard of somebody reading Network Marketing for Dummies before, but I know that book. I saw it when it came out. So there you go. So tell us about, okay, you came home, you read the book, you decided to do it. What did you do? And let's focus on your first year. What did you do to build a business, including how many people did you personally enroll? And how did you do that? Like, where did you find those people? Were they friends? Were they family? Tell us about the first year.
The first year was friends. You know, I started just telling people, telling my friends about, I think coming back from convention, you're so excited. They launch new products. Yeah, you're talking, and I think that was the very first year we had Barry Young Juice, which is now Ningxia Red. And so, you know, we were all just going crazy, telling everybody about this and having fun. And so the first year was really warm market, right? Talking to people that I knew already and family and friends of families. And anytime, you know, I could host a class at my house, I like having classes, small classes, at my house. And so I would invite people over and share that way. So what, about 20 to 30 people that first year?
Well, that's a good number, because that's on pace to personally enroll 2 to 3 a month. Can you tell us how many classes a month you think you held in that first year?
In the first year, it was probably every other week. Some months was, I also work with horses, so sometimes it was at my house, and sometimes I would go to a place where I was boarding my horse, and I would, you know, of course, shared there a lot, and so I would host classes there, and that's when I got doing that, and that was probably, I think that would have been in the first year. I would have been almost, it would have definitely been every other week at that point.
Okay, that's a great pace, and we've also probably all heard a pace that is recommended if you want to rapidly advance through the plan is have at least one class a week. And then you might end up having 2 or 3 classes a week because you're now going to classes that are held by people on your team. So you start to work in depth after you get that class thing going. And, you know, some people do it by doing classes. Some people do it by social media. Some people do it by meeting people at Starbucks. However you do it, you did the most important thing, Yvonne, which is you got in front of people on a regular basis and you personally enrolled enough people to like get through that momentum period. Do you remember your rank at the end of year one?
Executive. I was pretty proud of getting to executive. It was a little different structure back then, but it was about the same. You had to have about the same parameters as you do now to hit executive.
Okay. And so tell us about the second year. What was your pace the second year? Did you do anything different your second year? And what was your rank at the end of the second year?
I did start to do something on that second year, which was I looked for more like vendor events. And I did, like you were saying, you know, I would help a lot of my team members have classes. And one of the things that I ended up doing, which not sure, it worked out great, but I don't know that it's the best way to start out. But I ended up going, I live in Illinois, and I heard about a couple horse events in Virginia. And so a friend of mine who lived in Virginia, and I started to go out there. And so I traveled out there a couple times to do horse events. And I met a lot of people through that. And so I really, I would start to do classes. That was before you could do internet classes. So that usually meant either telephone or once in a while driving out there to do classes. And again, about 20 to 30 people that year. And that year it was a blast. I remember that year going and, you know, striving for silver was just a lot of fun in building and pushing and meeting a whole bunch of people.
Mm-hmm. And so did you make silver by the end of the second year?
The third. Yes, I'm sorry. But I think I'm trying to remember all the years now. Yeah, it was the third year I hit silver.
Okay, so year one executive, silver by the end of year three. Mm-hmm. So we'll get into year three a little bit, but I have a question about horses. What do you do with the oils and horses?
Everything you do with them on us. We do raindrop, we do emotional work, my horses here keep me busy with all kinds of things, putting oils on them all the time.
Where do you put oils on a horse?
Everywhere you put them on us. They've got four legs, so you've got more legs. They love to eat these. They really love the flavor. All the oils that we think are kind of strong and maybe earthy, horses love them.
Wow. Well, there you go. There's a whole new market for people. And is there a place where people can go in Young Living to learn specifically about oils and horses?
Actually, there's a few places. I know there are several leaders who hold different animal conferences. There is the Animal Desk Reference from Life Science, which is an amazing resource. And then there's tons of Facebook groups for animals. And there's a lot of veterinarians in Young Living who do all kinds of training.
Yeah. Okay, great. So do you remember the third year, how many people you personally enrolled? And did you do anything different in the third year on your way to silver?
No, the third year was a lot like the second year. We kind of got into a groove. So I think that was around 30 plus people. I had a couple really great vendor events, which is what pushed me to silver, and had, again, had a lot of fun going and traveling and teaching.
Okay. So here's a question about your first 3 years. That's a total of about 80 people you personally sponsored in the first 3 years. Can you remember, isolate, how many of your current substantial legs came from those first 80 people?
Well, that's interesting. Out of that, there are actually four substantial legs within that leg. And so there's four builders that really have been with me since the beginning.
There you go. So that kind of fits in a normal percentage that if you and I go out and we personally enroll 20 people, and then you track those people over the next 2 or 3 years, what would be normal is to get about one, maybe one and a half of them, maybe two of them at the most, that actually end up being builders. So these are ratios that are important for people to look at strategically, that if you're looking to build, okay, ultimately six legs, then how many people do I need to personally sponsor? Because it's going to be about one out of 20. So, you know, six times 20, that's 120 people, right? So if you personally sponsor 120 people, and you've got to do it in a tight enough time period. So, you know, one of the things that you spoke about here, Yvonne, was how much fun you were having. And what we can all read into that is the energy that you were creating, that your group was creating. There was a lot going on in those 3 years. If you personally sponsor 120 people over 10 years, you don't get near the result of energy in the group if you personally sponsor that many people in 3 or 4 years. So tell us then about getting to diamond. What was that road like? Silver to diamond. How long did that take? And what happened on that road to diamond?
That's where the road gets a little bumpier. It's about the fifth year. My sister was my upline, right? So she was, she's the one who brought me in. So this was right around 2010 heading. My silver team was growing pretty well. We were doing really good. And about midway through 2010, my sister got sick. And so things kind of changed in that year. She had a farm, 20 horses. So things took a bit of a right turn because she could no longer take care of the farm. And about 4 or 5 months, one of my other sisters and myself took over taking care of her and the farm. In December that year, she passed away. And so I actually took over her Young Living group at that point, which she was a pretty good sized goal in Young Living. Again, the structure was a little different. So she was a really good sized goal, but that really kind of turned my business upside down for a while. So I really, for about a year after that, it was focused. My family and I were focused on taking care of other things. And so the leg I had been building, my sister-in-law took over, and then I took over my sister's line. And right. so that was an interesting quandary.
Yes, I'm sure. And, you know, the point there that people want to hear is, it's pretty rare that we go through 5 years of our life without having life come right up and smack us in the head. And it can be anything from a family member gets sick to some kind of financial tragedy to divorce to, I mean, all kinds of things happen in life, right? And so what I love about your story is not the typical, you know, 4 or 5 year run, uninterrupted, no life events happened. All I got to do was focus on my Young Living business. Everything went perfect. I mean, there's a lot of stories like that in Young Living where people just built for 4 or 5 years and voila, they're a diamond and everything's wonderful. But your story is different. And I think it's so powerful because, you know, you ended up actually taking over your sister's distributorship. Your sister-in-law took over yours. That kind of stuff happens. And, you know, that may have been actually an advantage to you because you took over a slightly bigger group. But then you also had this total distraction, interruption in flow, in energy, in focus. And I think one of the things we should point to here is what happened to your customer base, your sales base, through all of this trauma and drama. Sounds like it held together.
That's the most amazing part. It actually grew. It actually kept growing. Even when I wasn't the one putting the energy in it, the team was strong and kept growing.
Yeah. So, I mean, the number one thing that attracted me to Young Living was the retention of people on the products. It's about 40%. About 40% of the people that join Young Living, if you track them long term, years later, they're on Essential Rewards at $100 or more. I don't know of a network marketing company on the planet that has that kind of retention. And why is that so important? Because the reason we're doing this is to build an income that survives our efforts. Most people think about that in, well, I want to build something so that I can retire, build it for 4 years, earn on it for 40 years. But what if you build it for 4 years and then you have a life event happens? It's not about retirement. It's about, wow, I can't actually drive my business for the next 2 or 3 years. In almost every network marketing company or any other business, if you take your eye off the ball for 2 or 3 years, it's going to fall apart. And the magic of Young Living is that doesn't tend to happen because of the loyalty to the product line. So tell us, Yvonne, how did you come out of that era, and when did you come out, and when did you get back to growing your business to diamond?
That, in my head, I want to say that it only took me 12 months to come out of it. But looking back, you know, about 2011, we treaded water. 2012, I started to like pay attention at least again. And but I'd say it was really 2013 is when I sat down and Wayne and I said, okay, we're going to get, you know, back and focused and build that fifth leg. Because at that point I had 4 really good legs and we needed that fifth. So we decided to really start building the fifth in about 2013, end of 13.
2014, that's just like 4 or 5 years ago. Is that the first time Wayne got involved to actually actively support you?
Yeah, he and I actually just met in 2013. So he actually, it took him about a year. He actually went to Platinum Retreat with me in 2013 and met Gary, and that was his light bulb moment. Yeah. And so he's like, yeah, I'll support you on this.
So you did the same thing with him that your sister did with you. You took him to an opportunity meeting. Pretty good opportunity meeting. Go to Platinum Retreat and hang out with Gary. I suppose you're going to get in after that. So how long did it take you? When did you actually get to Diamond?
2015.
Okay. And so that is...
I'm sorry, 16. I always get that backwards. 16.
Yep, that's exactly 10 years. That's the 10-year mm-hmm. run to Diamond. And when did you go full time?
I waited way too long. I didn't quit my other full-time job until 2013. And that's when I decided we were really going to push for Diamond is when I went full time in Young Living.
Great. So what did you do when you decided to build that fifth leg? How did you do that? Did you have a different strategy? And do you remember what your enrollment numbers were then?
My enrollment numbers were about the same. I've been pretty consistent on that, but I did focus on, because I had a lot going on, I just decided I was going to do some vendor events type farmer markets, not big events, but local events. So I had realized I had really made my world much smaller for a couple of years. And so I needed to go out and meet new people. So I went out and decided I needed to meet new people. So I went and joined a couple riding clubs, and it stuck with, I'm tend to be a shy person. That's my story anyways. And so I picked things that are my niche, what I enjoy talking to people about. And I just decided I was going to go out and start meeting people, and I'd pick up a class here, or somebody would invite me to do a presentation at a tack shop, or, a barn would say, oh yeah, come and do a raindrop on horses. And basically any opportunity, I took it.
Wow. Beautiful. So if we fast forward to today, how many people on your team?
Total?
Yes.
13,004.
And generally your monthly sales?
750,000.
That's a pretty good business.
All right.
I love that. All right. So let's get into some stories and philosophies. First question, Yvonne, is in all of that career, you have a lot of years, you had a lot of different phases and eras of your career. What would you say the biggest mistake was that you made in building your Young Living business? And perhaps you made it one time, like a big blunder, or perhaps it was just a bad habit. Can you flush that out? Just go from intuition. What do you sense the biggest mistake was that if you had it to do over, you'd do that totally different?
I was horrible in the beginning about follow-up. I would meet a bunch of people, and if they didn't say yes right away, I thought a no was a no. And I thought, well, they're not interested and I wouldn't do anything. And that was I can't even imagine actually what that cost.
Yes. Yeah. And then if you think about the exponential growth that it cost you. So most of the time when we think about that we didn't follow up, we think, oh, maybe I could have got that person in the business. And we think linear. We think, well, it would have been nice if I got that person in the business. But what we don't think about is if you would have got that person in the business, now fast forward 7 years or 10 years, what might that person have built? We're talking perhaps thousands of people because we didn't follow up on one person. Do you have any stories, Yvonne, about people that you did follow up on that converted like 3 months later, 3 years later, like where follow-up paid off?
Well, I actually have. There's since I did a few of these horse events, I would go every year. Like, you become a regular at them. In fact, I still do them because people expect to see us. And there have been, there's one particular lady, I love her to pieces, but she came back year after year. Like, I think it was on the fourth time I talked to her, and we would sit and we would talk every year for an hour or more. And it was on the fourth year that she finally decided I might be worth trusting.
And so what happened? What did she do?
And she's been in the team at least 5, maybe 6 years. She's a product user, but she is one of the people that I will get an email from saying, hey, my friend Susie needs some help. Give her a call. I mean, she's an amazing referral source.
Right. There you go. All right. So without using the opposite of follow-up as the answer to this question, what's the smartest thing that you've done in 10 years? And you can't use follow-up as the answer. Something different.
Oh, that's easy. I just didn't realize you could give up. I believe the stories that I heard at the very beginning that you can do this as long as you don't give up. And so I just decided I wasn't going to give up. And I didn't.
And so did you have days, weeks, months where you wanted to give up, thought about giving up, or were you always sort of naturally optimistic?
I honestly think I'm pretty optimistic in general. You know, there might be moments where I go, oh, why am I doing this? But as far as I think I've always been in love with the model. And so I can't ever really imagine not doing it.
Yeah. So tell us about that. How important is it to be in love with the model? And did you do anything specific to fall in love with the model?
Did I do any? I don't think I did any. I think I saw, after reading, honestly, the books are, you know, once I saw the legitimacy of this business, I really do honestly love the model. I was in corporate America. I've worked on my own. Nothing's ever guaranteed, and certainly there's never a guarantee, and you can't say anything's completely safe. This has such a support system ingrained in it. You're never alone. And so I love the model because everything is there for you. And as long as you're willing to put the work and the effort in, everything else is supplied. And I'm like, I couldn't find another business that was going to be offered to me. And so from a business perspective, I just absolutely love this model.
Yeah. I think people sometimes don't realize how fortunate we are. Like, where else can you get in a business for maybe $500 and be partnered with somebody? And in this case, I'm thinking about if you go upline, there's somebody in your upline that in Young Living is making $1 million a year, right? And you probably don't have to go that far upline to find somebody in the exact same business that you're going to build. Same products, same compensation plan, same training, same system, same culture. They're making $1 million a year, or they're making $100,000 a year. And all they want to do is teach you how to do what they did. And you don't have to pay them to teach you. And you just partner with them. Where else can you start a business on a part-time basis for hardly any money at all and partner with somebody in the exact same business that's crushed it? I don't know any other model on the planet where that's available. And then as you actually do the work and you start recruiting and building, you get to benefit from people that are actually better than you. You know, if you get 100, 200 people on your team, somewhere on in that group of people is going to be somebody that's got more ambition than you, more capability than you, more moxie, more contacts, more credibility, more something. And you get to take full advantage of that. What are some of the things, Yvonne, that you have done to in personal development and studying? Like, do you have any resources that you would recommend to people that made a big difference for you?
Yeah, you.
Oh, all right. Good. What about me? What did I do?
Well, the other part that I didn't put at the beginning is it was one of your CDs. I can't remember if you ever can find it. It's absolute gold. This was, I think you were doing a prospecting presentation. And I just remember you were talking to some guy about the toothpaste your company was developing. And the reason network marketing was so amazing is because companies put, you know, make these products so amazing that you'll be evangelical about it. And I remember I listened to that tape again and again and again. And so I knew your name. And so I started following you. I started following Eric Worre. I started anytime I could get any kind of personal development that was really kind of small business focused, even if it wasn't network marketing, I listened to it because I did realize I don't have a college degree. My dad owned his own business, but I certainly had never owned my own business. I didn't have formal training to run a business. And so I knew I needed that. And then in the year that I went, I tell this a lot, so sorry, but in the year that I went diamond is the year both Wayne and I came to your retreat. And we came out to your retreat in January. And as your work is about helping people get breakthroughs and really figuring out what's that story that we're playing inside of our head. And I, to this day, attribute, you know, changing that story that runs through my head, or at least identifying the stories we tell ourselves, as what the big change was in opening my business back up.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. And, you know, I think the message there is that what we tend to do in any business, but it certainly is true in network marketing, is we rise pretty quickly to our own level of belief, our own leadership capability, our own vision, our own self-motivation. We come into the business and we max out pretty quick in the compensation plan, in income, in getting people to follow us. We reach our ceiling pretty quick, within a year or two or three, generally. And the people that go on to do something that, you know, like what they might say is, wow, this got bigger than I ever dreamed it would. Well, that's not actually true. They did dream it would get bigger. They just forgot that what they did was they took themselves on. So, you know, by coming to a retreat, what you and Wayne did was you took on your belief system. You took on your story. You assaulted it to reinvent it. And what that does is that raises our ceiling, raises our leadership capability, raises our motivation, raises our influence, raises our personal power. And then we can like move into ranks in the business that we didn't really have, no pun intended for you, the horsepower to create until we do personal development, however you do it, right? Study all kinds of stuff, get in front of somebody that's going to help you change your story. That's where the breakthroughs come from. It starts in personal development, and the reflection is in our income. So, Yvonne, what is next for you? Are you coasting? Are you retiring? What's the journey over the next 4 or 5 years for you and Wayne? What do you see? What are you doing?
Oh, we're this business is too fun. We're not retiring. In fact, we're this year my strategy is to we're working on our sixth leg now and helping. We're trying to reach down as deep into our organization as we can to help as many of our members as we can because it's just fun. We're going to keep growing and building, and as long as Young Living is building, we're going to keep building.
Yeah, well, Young Living, I believe, is here for the next 100 or 200 years. And, you know, people may think, well, I don't know, how is that possible? Well, there's network marketing companies here, folks, that are, you know, Young Living is 25 years old. There's network marketing companies that are 50 years old. And the model is only about 65 or 70 years old. And so for Young Living to be here for the next 100 years, I mean, I believe that's a lock. And, you know, there's really powerful reasons why that's going to happen. It's a one owner company. It's privately held. Those are two really important things for longevity. The track record suggests it'll be here for 100 years. The products suggest it'll be here for 100 years. So you got lots of road to run on, Yvonne, as long and as hard as you want to run. Last question. Somebody's listening to this interview. They're a, you know, senior star or executive or maybe a silver. They're stalled out, which is, you know, pretty typical. People listening to these interviews are, you know, oftentimes stalled out. They want to get momentum again. They want to get their mojo back. They want to get enrollments back. They want to get growth. They want to rank advance. What would you say if I was one of those people? What would you say to me to inspire me to get busy, get productive, get it going on again?
That's always a hard question for me, honestly.
Now you get to motivate.
I tell my story because it really is about meeting more people. It's when we work with people who are stagnant, a lot of times it's they just need a breath of fresh air, you know. And if it's a mindset, you know, if it's there's books, find somebody you love and resonate. If it's a diamond or somebody on your team or somebody outside of Young Living, whoever motivates you, grab onto that energy, find something that gives you energy, and then run with it. But for me, whenever I feel stagnant, that's when I decide I'm just going to go out and meet new people and build new relationships, because this is a relationship business. And if I keep building relationships and genuine relationships without ulterior motives, the business starts happening. And it can take a while, but it happens, and it always ends up happening.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's so profound truth. What I think we all need to realize is what we get paid for is introducing Young Living to our network. And if our network has played out, then what we get paid for is expanding our network. And you talked about it so many times in your story that what you had the courage and the vision and the motivation to do is go put yourself in situations where they were comfortable for you, they were niches for you, they were passions for you, but they allowed you to meet new people and start new conversations and start new relationships. And that's what people have to do. So folks, if you're stuck, what you get paid for, what we get paid the big bucks for, is go out and start fresh relationships. And like you said, Yvonne, yeah, it doesn't happen overnight, but you know, 4 years is coming at you anyway. You get to decide what you want the next 4 years to look like, and it's all going to be based on what you do this month and next month and the month after. And you know, it may take a year or two for all of that to materialize, but you got to get started. Great stories, Yvonne, great stats. I love the fact that it took you 10 years, because that provides lots of inspiration for people. Thank you for not quitting.
Never.
Thank you for being Kimmy and Mai's friend.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Richard, and everything.
Thanks for listening. I trust you got some golden nuggets. If you're inspired sufficiently, I invite you to join me for Run Through Rank. Run Through Rank is a coaching program designed to have you blow through your next rank with never having to worry about requalifying. We come together twice a week for an hour for 60 days. You'll end up with 16 to 20 hours of custom video content you can study forever. This could be the best investment you ever make. Check it out at runthroughrank.com. That's runthruRank.com. We'll see you there.